Thank you, Mayor, very much. Fred, that's Fred Blair, our streamer and our access code generator and all-around technical person. I want to thank him publicly for doing extra special duty tonight. After undergoing dental surgery, he is here with us nonetheless, streaming this meeting. Thank you very much, Fred.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Fred. My name is James Sagerton. This is the November 22nd, 2022 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have quorum. I'm going to ask our Paul, our secretary, to take the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Chris Corey?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Kamau Harris?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden?
Here.
Dawn Kelly McPherson?
I am indeed.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Susan Young?
Here.
Okay, that's 10.
Thank you, R. Paul. That is our full complement now that we no longer have a CFO. Good to know. Okay, now we're going to go on to adopt the agenda, which is number 3 on the agenda. I will read the agenda. Number 1, convene meeting, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number 2, roll call. Number 3, adopt agenda. Number 4, chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number 5, minutes for 3 minutes. Number 6, report from the executive director with Q&A, 30 minutes. Number 7, deferred payroll and accrual accounts, 10 minutes. Number 8, National Office Budget Review, 30 minutes. Number 9, motion from Director Von Gunten, see the NFC list for the motion itself. We'll read it when and if we get there, to require a balance sheet and business plan in place before any sale of any major asset. Schedule that for 10 minutes. And number 10 is adjourned to executive session if needed. And I guess we have to I would like to propose an amendment myself. Quickly, I want to say adjourn to executive session, and instead of if needed, which we know it will be, I want to say no later than 9:35 p.m. Eastern Time. Is there any objection to that correction? We have at least 2 items in executive session. We may get more. 9:35 p.m. Eastern. 9:35 p.m. Eastern. Yes. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Is there any other discussion of the agenda? Any adjustments, additions, subtractions? Any objections? Hearing none, we'll consider that adopted, and we can move right ahead then with the chair's announcements. Very brief. Tonight, we will hear a report from the executive director and review and discuss the continuing cash flow and payroll crisis. We will also review the Pacifica National Office budget, which was postponed several times, most recently from our last meeting to tonight. We will also discuss how funds from any sale of a building might be allotted, including what business plans should be developed before any such action is approved. And there are no other new announcements. That brings us to number 5, which is minutes. R. Paul, I understand we have some minutes.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Take your time.
Okay. Let's see. I move that we approve the minutes of the October 11th, 2022 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? I have one question, R. Paul. I think it was in the chair's announcements. I was talking about the interim general manager at one of the stations, and I thought I probably wrote it IGM, but it was spelled out as I and then the word general, all caps, and manager, all caps. Is that the way it actually appeared? Not a big issue.
Geez, you know, I even picked that up. Let me see where that... Okay, I'll tell you in a second here. Let me get right at that. I picked up one thing like that, and I don't know, for some reason, my... earlier. For some reason, my software here is... changing some things. It's managing to...
It could also be my fat fingers hitting the cap lock.
No. It's... Okay, what you have is the lowercase I and a capital GM.
Yeah.
So
that's how I intended it, although I realize that's shorthand.
Okay. Oh, geez. You know what? National Business Manager was. Look, yeah, some things are happening with, okay, capitalization here. Small I and just the letters G and M capitalized. Oh, I know. When I spell checked it, it automatically corrected that.
Wow.
All right. So I'm changing that, and let me look again and see what National Business Manager, NBM. Okay. Oh, you're putting – okay, you put that in braces, so that probably got things going. All right, so we'll just do letters. And – okay, I've made those corrections in there.
Very good. Any other discussion of the minutes for October 11? Any objection to approving them? Hearing none, that's approved with the proviso, of course, that they can be corrected at any future time or amended at any future time, I should say. All right. Is that all for the minutes at the moment, R. Paul?
Yep.
Very good. Okay, that brings us to number 6, the report from the executive director with Q&A. Stephanie, I made this 30 minutes. I know your reports don't go that long, but it seems like the Q&A has been drawing it out, so I just thought I'd be a little more realistic and put an approximation closer to what we've been doing. So the floor is yours.
No problem. Thank you. Too much has changed since last week's meeting. We're still working with each of the divisions to make sure that they submit their payroll on time. We're still short as of today. All the payroll was to be put in Monday by noon. We've given a couple of leeway to a couple of units just because they're still trying to raise some money to have it come in. But as of today, we're about $14,000 shy. I am 99% confident that we're going to make payroll. It's now really just a matter of timing. And then I'm also left a message with Paylocity trying to determine if we still, even if we're short, even though they said one time before that if we're short, we can't do automatic, the direct deposits, we have to have them issue paper checks. But I was also informed that if we issue paper checks, we'll be penalized per employee that is a union member. And that's $15 per day that it's late. So I don't want to, I'm trying to determine if maybe we can do some of the checks, direct deposits, some of the checks, hard copy or hard mail. So we're trying to figure that out at this point. Again, things are get a little backed up and slower because of the holiday, but people have been pretty good about returning phone calls. So hopefully we'll have an answer for that by tomorrow. We also just found out that there is a lien on a national office storage unit that's in Berkeley. So it's not a large amount of money. It's less than $1,000. So I left a message with the storage facility today just to kind of see how much we need to pay in order to release that lien. We got a rough idea of what is in the storage facility. There is some artwork that was donated to the organization quite a few years ago that a lot of people have said, I believe that it's been appraised at a higher, it hasn't really been a, the amount that it was appraised is much less than what the value was originally when it was donated. And there are a few pieces that have been put up on eBay a few years ago for sale, but there were no takers on that. The artwork is incredibly large, you know, like 10 feet by 8 feet. And there's multiple pieces. So we're at this point, as I said, left a message for the storage facility today just to kind of talk through what we need to do and then try to figure out if we want to still continue to keep that storage unit, if what we need to do with that artwork. I'm just trying to get some information from different people who are familiar with the artwork and the history of it and what's been kind of moving on since then. We still have a few concerns regarding some outstanding bills, but so far most of the vendors that we, you know, have some aged payables with, again, have been very helpful and very cooperative when Markeisha and I are giving them a call and trying to extend any sort of due dates or, you know, making some good faith effort to make a little bit of a payment just so we don't sort of incur additional late fees or we don't incur any sort of shutoffs. But, and again, so far people have been incredibly helpful for that. What we've been really been focusing on right now, as I said, is trying to meet payroll and then some of the past due building rent and tower rent for WBAI. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, Stephanie, quickly, could you say how the holiday is has impacted the payroll situation? Has it?
Oh, it has, only to the extent that we've lost 2 days on when payroll needs to be put into the payroll account or transferred over to the payroll account due to the holiday. But all the stations and the divisions were told of that change quite a few weeks ago, and then they've been getting reminders every couple of days from Markeisha as well, letting them know. So we had asked everybody to make their deposits into the payroll account or their transfers of funds into the payroll account on Monday at noon. And again, there were a few that weren't able to make that deadline. So we are hoping to be able to have everything by tomorrow, because payroll still needs to be processed. You know, obviously payroll still needs to be processed. And if Paylocity isn't going to allow us to have a direct deposit, if we fall short, then that also, we need to give them a couple of days heads up.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I've got a few, but others have them.
Go ahead, Chris. Oh, maybe let's take a stack. I heard Chris and I think Beth.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
I'll put myself on the end there. Nobody else wants it just yet, and we'll come back again for another round. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Just one question. When we commit to a payroll, it obviously has a fixed date that it goes out. In this case, I'm guessing it's November 30th. Does Paylocity pull the money from the account immediately, or do they pull it like 24 or 48 hours prior to the disbursement date?
They pull it prior to the disbursement date, so it would be pulled on the 27th or the 28th. But usually when we fund payroll, like technically if it wasn't for the holiday on the 24th, we would have had to have payroll completely funded by the 24th in order to have everything processed by the for checks to go out on the 30th. Because the automatic or the direct deposit usually hits around like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning on the 30th.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Beth.
Yeah, a couple of things. First, I just wanted to note that I don't know whether there's any chance of these two items converging, but there are two stations in the process of trying to mount online art auctions. And if we know what's in the unit, do we have photographs of the artwork in that unit?
Yes,
to
we
even
do.
Know whether we do?
Yes, we do.
Good. Thank you. Maybe I'll follow up with you tomorrow because there are a couple of units, a couple of stations in the process of soliciting artworks for online auctions. That's one item. And then a question. I'm wondering why we're not receiving regular financials on a regular basis. It's been months now, and I'm wondering, is there a problem, and when we can anticipate finally catching up with the financials we need? I mean, they're needed now more than ever, given the precarious situation the organization finds itself in, and our need as directors to be fully informed to be making well-grounded decisions.
It's concerning me as well, and it's also been concerning to Markeisha, and a lot of it is being able to get the information that is in Great Plains and the information that NEDA has, their books, to transfer over. We've actually had to, I don't know the logistics or the details behind that, but we have had to hire someone to come in who worked with us a couple of months ago when we were having some issues with Great Plains and the transferring of information in order to have them help us get that done. So it's just a series of applications not speaking to each other in order for us to get that information. And then we have bank statements for certain divisions, but we don't have access to some divisions' bank accounts, and we can only rely on what they send us as far as any sort of reconciled bank statements.
That is that?
Do you have an estimation of at what point we will be able to we need financials, and I'm wondering when we might expect that information. Thank you.
As of this morning, we have a John Amelia reached out to somebody from a company who has worked with us again prior, and they are contacting Markeisha and D'Angelo and John, and they're working with them directly to arrange a time that they can connect to Markeisha's computer, and then they can address those remaining issues. So all of that was happening this morning as far as getting all of this organized at 8 o'clock. I'm hoping we'll be able to have at least some sort of answer as to what we need to do with the Great Plains update by, I haven't seen anything yet today, so hopefully we'll have something by tomorrow morning.
I couldn't hear.
Hopefully we'll have something by at least some sort of time frame by tomorrow morning as to when the representative that has helped us before with the Great Plains system issue. As I said this morning, John reached out to a person at 8 this morning to arrange a time that they can work with D'Angelo on the Great Plains system in order to help input into our database. And so all of this was a series of emails that were going back and forth this morning at 8, trying to get everybody to connect so they can connect their computer to our computer and get in there and try to see what the issue is. So I haven't seen any updates since this morning at 8, but the email was sent out and people are trying to work on getting their schedules together.
Is that it now, Beth?
Yes, for the moment.
We can go around again if you have more. So, Stephanie, that brings me up. Is this the same issue that we had when we initially came off of NETA and tried to, you know, we had that period where we didn't have access to Great Plains. Is it a continuation or an aspect of that, or is it a separate issue?
It's a continuation of the same issue, because a lot of the files just aren't showing up. So we'll have the file folder, but then when you, like on the computer, but then when you click on it, there's nothing in the file. So we don't know if they're in there and we just can't gain access, or if the transfer didn't work completely.
You know, we spent a lot of money on Great Plains at one time, and we got their updated version some time ago, and I'm sure it's not the latest. Not that it's something we would contemplate trying to do now, but what's your impression of Great Plains? Maybe it's not fair to ask you, but are your tech people saying anything about Great Plains, you know, being outmoded? Do we need to update? Should we move to a different system? Are you getting any information on that?
Well, I think that once we get all the information out of it, then we can kind of determine if this is the best application for us. But what's happening is that, like, Markeisha's Great Plains account isn't providing her access to all of the units, and then all of the units, meaning all of our divisions, and then all of the applications within Great Plains. So that's what we're trying to, and she doesn't know what she's missing until she realizes she can't pull something.
Right.
So it's kind of like thankfully we're still getting support from Nita as well to kind of let us know what it is that we're missing. And if we see with, screenshots of here's what Markeisha is looking at, does this match what Julia was looking at? And then we're kind of going back and forth to kind of see what we're missing, and then clicking on each of those folders and doing the same comparison to see, is what we see in the folders what you used to see in the folders, and then how can we get what's missing into that folder?
Got it. Well, for a non-technical person, that was a pretty good answer, I must say.
Come out of the stack.
Final question. I got you, Kamal. Final question for me now is, as far as I recall, we had financials through July, and then we missed August, and I guess going forward from August, that's what we're missing. Do we plan to go back and get them? I heard you or someone talking about moving on, and we'll get September financials, but I don't think we got August yet. Maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong.
I think you have August, because I have the August. And then I was told that we have Julia Kennard is able to pull for us kind of a down and dirty version of September. And I haven't seen those yet. So I can ask for the August. I'm pretty sure we have August.
Could you forward that to the committee just so we can double check
that?
Good. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, Kamal, and let me see if there's anybody else who wants to speak as well. Anyone else?
You can put me back at the end of the stack.
Okay, anyone else? Come out.
Okay, I have two questions. The first one is with regards to, I think you said a little bit ago, Stephanie, that some of the stations you had to rely on what was sent to you. What typically is sent to you from the stations that that you're relying on? I believe PFW is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, what would be wonderful to be able to get is consolidated bank statements at the end of every month, even if they can't, kind of pull a QuickBooks or something like that. Just a consolidated statement would be handy. We do get some QuickBooks statements from WBAI, but they're not always, think Berthold just sent one of them out today, and he said it doesn't always kind of match with some of the bank statements because they didn't have a chance to reconcile it. We're behind on bank statement reconciliations, receiving those from KPFA, and I don't know if we don't have account access to be able to look at an actual bank statement for WBAI, WPFW, KPFT, and KPFA, the only bank accounts and the archives the only bank accounts that are through the same system that Markeisha and I can look at on a daily basis are the affiliates, the national office, and KPFK.
Okay, and thank you for that. And then I heard you say that with regards to the, data issue in Great Plains, the person that's come in to, assist, do they have something that is a backup or some sort of redundant folder or file of folders or database? Because I'm hearing you say that you're trying to ensure what's missing or what you don't know is there, could be there, or somehow you've got to have a static or a master file somewhere. Is that what this particular person has and that you're running that up against what Markeisha has to use?
Yeah, we're looking at what Nita was able to look at when they were looking at the financials and how that information was talking to their system. Because what technically would happen is that if somebody had an invoice, a check, an expense, they would upload that, and then that would automatically go into the system that Nita would use. And then that would be transferred into Great Plains. But not everybody is sending copies of invoices or checks that are going out. And so then at that point, they should be, but they don't. And so even if we ask them for certain things, which is then why I'm asking for bank reconciliations, and business managers and certain stations are having a difficult time doing that as well, even though I've told them that they can really technically even just send us a printout of their bank statement, you know, and so we can have just a paper trail as to what's been spent, what's come in, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say that could be some significant gaps there the longer this goes on. As long as this issue happens, you could have a lot of gaps with regards to cash position as well. I know we're trying to keep track of that. So okay. Well, I'm hoping that this is successful. We can get through this. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mark Paul for STAC.
I got you, Mark Paul. I'm going to put myself on the STAC after you. Go ahead, Beth. Oh, and does anybody else want the STAC? Okay, we'll ask again. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. This is to follow up on some of what we spoke about earlier. I'm wondering, why don't we have access to all bank accounts of all units, and what would it take to remedy that situation? And as I understand it, you said we do have access to the affiliates, the national office, and KPFK, and we don't have access to BAI, PFW, KPFT, or KPFA. And I'm wondering about the PRA. Do we have access to PRA?
No.
Whatever. No. Okay, so they would go with the NOA. So we actually have access to fewer units than we don't have access to. We're lacking access to 5 units, and we have access to 3. Is that correct?
Correct.
And so why is that, and what can we do to remedy that situation?
The same signatory papers that we went through with Bank of America, those same things need to happen with Wells Fargo and Chase and the other banks that the stations have. It would then be, letting people know that they need to release or at least add signatories to their bank accounts. It would be even easier if everybody was banking under one bank. You know, so for example, when we look at Bank of America for the national account and transferring in our payroll account, we have an app that we can just log into, Markeisha and I, and allows us, you know, to see the payroll account that people transfer money into, you know, as I said, the national office, the affiliates, and KPFK. And it actually makes it a lot easier because it's very simple then for us to be able to, you know, get the payroll from KPFK or the affiliates, and they can just give us a go-ahead and we can actually make that transfer ourselves. Because even when the divisions transfer money into the payroll account, it's not instantaneous. So often we'll just have to sit and wait for even a day or 2 days for the funds to clear, and then they go into the payroll account. So if everybody would be willing to transfer their bank accounts over to one bank, that would be extremely helpful. Or if they would be willing to, you know, sign over on the signing process. And I know that that's something that really technically should be mandatory, but it is not incredibly easy to kind of convince the importance of why we need to be able to have access to look at everyone's accounts, because that also involves, you know, PayPal accounts, and some people have Venmo and Zelle. I mean, Zelle is pretty easy. That's just a transfer. But, you know, that also would involve PayPal accounts and Venmo accounts and other ways that certain stations pay certain people. Shouldn't be happening that way. That's really not how regular businesses do business. And it would make things very easy, much easier, as far as being able to, we could just consolidate the monthly statements ourselves.
Chris to the stack.
Dr. Chris.
Thank you.
Paul.
Okay. In backwards order. Having them all in one bank would make some things more convenient. On the other hand, as we've learned in the past, it also makes it so that bank accounts can get emptied very efficiently by somebody who has some sort of way of doing so. We've had things in the past where somebody has had to search around and find bank accounts, and they found what they could and took everything out of them that they could, but they left others, and so we were still surviving. If you have everything all in one place, it's easier for a vendor or the government or a hacker to just grab every penny very fast and easily. So there's that downside. The other part is, regarding seeing the accounts, is it that it's individual persons who need to sign up? Because I know that BAI had given full access to the previous CFO, and I thought that would go for Pacifica, but is it that we have to have an individual, like we have to have your name on it or the national business manager's name on it, and they have to do it that way? Or could we just have, like, you know, executive director of Pacifica as the entity that gets to go in and look at it?
Well, actually, when we have to answer the first question with, you know, going in, I don't know if when you were referring to somebody going in and taking money, if that was, you know, an unknown person that went in and took money, or, you know, I'm hoping that's not something that happened. I mean, with Bank of America, you know, and again, if we stay with Bank of America, but all the accounts are not one account. There are, you know, separate accounts for each of them. When the IRS earlier in the year had put a started getting money from the accounts because of money that was owed for some tax issues, the problem with that is that they sent out a letter putting a lien on multiple accounts. So even though they had pulled the money out of the national account of Bank of America, just to be on the safe side, they had also sent letters to withdraw funds from Wells Fargo and from Chase and from the Wells Fargo in Houston and then Wells Fargo in Washington. So whereas when it was just one account that they pulled money from with the national office, the other banks weren't aware whether that had been paid or not, because those were three separate banks, and we got pulled the same amount of money from four accounts. And then we had to start working with the banks and the IRS to try to get that money refunded. So as far as, you know, a government entity pulling funds, it would have only happened if we had, you know, if we were just banking with one bank, we wouldn't have lost those funds from three additional accounts and then had to work to try to get that money back, which we did. As far as having access, the signatories on the bank accounts, which we have done with the Bank of America accounts, should really be the chair of the board, a vice chair, and a treasurer, in order to have checks and balances as to who's signing checks. But as of right now, we just have at some of the other branches, it's just the general managers or the business managers that have access to signing checks. And I think it's much safer from a company standpoint if we have the same parties, which should be the board chair and the co-chair and a treasurer, that are the signatories of those bank accounts.
Okay, so, but my question is, because I know that before, when we had NETA doing all this stuff, I know BAI's account was totally transparent. They could just go look at it. So that's why I'm wondering, when they made that finally happen, was it a case of they said they used a person's name and said this person has access to it? Because I agree with you, it should be like the position gets to go in.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, because since I've started and when I was working with Julia, we would have to actually ask, and I do it now, we actually have to ask WBAI how much is in their bank account. And then we rely on an email telling us how much is in there. So I don't know who had access to actually look at it. But again, since I've been here and working with Julia, we've had to, we always had to send an email asking what the balance was.
Huh. All right. This is,
come out of the stack.
This is something, I'll look this up and ask the general manager, and, I don't know. Maybe my memory is completely faulty. We'll see. Thank you.
Yeah, I've got Chris before you come out, but I've got you. It's going to be Chris. Actually, it's me after our poll. It'll be me, then Chris, then come out. So, yeah, I was also kind of shocked to hear that about IWTNA not having what we called at the time eyes-only access to the bank accounts. I was assured by the CFO at that time that we had that at all the stations and units except for T. And now it's like being totally turned upside down. So I'm very surprised and disconcerted to hear that. So I do hope, Paul, you can pursue that and, you know, we can learn more about what it is. Is it an individual access or, you know, what it is that makes the difference there? I wanted to emphasize a point that was made, and this is the same thing that was happening with NETA. You mentioned that it's, you know, why don't we have the financials and what's the issue? And, okay, so there are computer problems with Great Plains, but it's also that the stations are slow to provide the needed information to get the financials. And apparently that was true with NETA, and it's now going to be true with Markeisha. So people have a tendency to jump on whoever is providing the information or whoever's in that position at a given time without understanding that the underlying information needs to flow from the stations in order for financials, P&Ls to be created. And let's go now to Chris.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start. So we've dealt with this issue. Like, I can think of at least three occasions at the NFC.
Yep.
The last time I remember specifically dealing with it, we actually handed a mandate down that view only access was mandatory. It's an obligation of each individual unit to give view only access to the CFO and the executive director of the organization. And not complying with that, I think, is basically akin to not complying with the bylaws at this juncture. I mean, it's such bad practice. I don't even have the proper words for it without, you know, adopting filthy language. We need to do something about this issue. If nothing else, we need to alert people to the fact that there's actually a statute for this. something that Stephanie doesn't appear aware of, nor is, you know, I mean, if she hasn't been informed of it, that's completely understandable. This existed before her time here. I'm just absolutely dumbfounded that it's possible to withhold information in this organization that is this crucial to running it. I'm sorry. I wish I could be more articulate. Thank you.
Chris, I'm going to jump in and just comment that it may not be that people are deliberately withholding information, according to the line of questioning our Paul was making. It may be that it was set up under NETA so that they had view-only access, and now we have to change the names or change it from the names of individuals to the names of positions in the organization. I agree with you that it's ridiculous. We thought we handled that. We had by statute, you meant the PMB resolution. Yeah, we did all of that, and that's why I'm also just flabbergasted that this is the situation. But if you could come back to me on that, Chris, do you see that, you know, it might not just be willfulness on the part of individuals? It could be the way it was set up. I'd like to know the answer.
Sure. I wasn't suggesting that it was willful withholding. I'm suggesting that there's something in the statute that's either lacking or that the statute hasn't been communicated over time in a way that, you know, has the proper force and authority. I don't really know how to put this into proper words, but we need to revisit whatever the statute was that was passed by the PMB and see what the specific language was that was adopted. And if that language doesn't comport with, for lack of a better way of putting it, standard practices, it should be revised so that it does comport with those, so we can actually have a good flow of information, crucial financial information necessary to the running of this organization. It's deeply, not only deeply disturbing and troubling, it just seems kind of fundamentally backwards and wrong for the management of Pacifica to be begging for information that they should just have ready access to.
Absolutely. And Chris, I know, I can tell you that the statute, as you put it, or the resolution that was passed by the PMB did not provide a mechanism. It just demanded a result. And I think that's where we may have had a foul up here. The mechanism that was chosen by NETA or the then CEO, executive director, might have not been translatable to new individuals. And as someone mentioned, I think, our Paul, that, you know, maybe one solution here is to make it the office that gets access, not the individual. But banks may say, I need a person's name as well. So we'll have to look into it and find out. But I agree with everything you said. I'm sorry
Mr.
for hogging time.
Mr. Chair, this is Susan.
Gotcha, Susan. Kamau is next.
Got it.
I was just going to suggest that typically, and actually probably across the board now, most banks allow for online banking access read-only. It's actually rather simple to add a person, whether it's an office or a name. When that person is no longer in office, you can go in and change the password if need be. But again, it would be view-only. You can print the statements out as well. And so I'm kind of in line with Chris that it's a rather simple process, I think, to get this information and get ourselves access that I think it could be done probably within the next few days, to be honest. Thank you.
Yep, certainly should be. Thank you, Kamau. And Susan.
Yeah, I would like to for us to ask Stephanie, what are the remedies that she recommends and what is the backing that she needs? And let me also just say the sense that I've had over a long period of time is that the units are afraid of having their money stolen. So I think it gets hoarded and hidden. And I understand why that is the case, because in fact, subsidization does happen from unit to unit.
That has definitely been
Chair Director Reyes is on the call.
I hear you, Lawrence. Thank you. Go ahead, Stephanie.
That has been a concern that's been voiced to me by various units, and I have worked extremely hard to try to let all the units know that I'm not going to go in and just transfer money from their account without them knowing. It took a while for people to kind of, you know, gain that trust that that was something that I would not do. So even when we've had to borrow money from individual units, it has always been by email request, preceded by a phone call request, so I could ask them in person. And then once that process was ready to take place, following that up with another email, letting them know that it had happened, and then also letting them know how that money would be returned to that unit and when that money would be returned. So there is enough trust, I believe, at this point, that even when we call and ask for how much is in the account, we usually get an answer within 48 hours, maybe a little bit longer, but there's still, you know, a little bit of hesitancy sometimes at asking for funds. Kind of a, well, why, and are you going to take them, you know, that kind of thing, even though we haven't pulled, again, any account money from anybody's account without prior permission and discussion of that first. But all I, you know, all Markeisha and I really want is just view-only access, you know, so we can, and again, if anything, just so we can help with reconciliation of their books. We can review the bank statements, and we can start our own, you know, the paper trail that's needed for not only just our monthly accounting, but also for, you know, upcoming audits and, you know, make sure that everything is in line. Even just as simple as a, you know, very easy check request. Whenever I'm putting in a check request for something, we have a check request form. The papers are attached, the invoices, what account it's to be pulled from. It's signed, it's sent, you know, and then the check, when it's issued, it's signed, you know, added to by Markeisha. And so we have this nice little packet that's just filed that we have, you know, everything that's backing it up. But, you know, there's, again, still some hesitancy from some of the units that somebody or, you know, the past ED history of people going in and just transferring money without them knowing. But, yeah, if I could just gain view access to these accounts and Markeisha and I, that would just be incredibly helpful.
Chris, this is back.
Chris, I'm going to have to ask you to wait. Who was that I also heard?
Beth was going to request the stack after Chris.
Okay, I got you too. But we are past time on this item, and I have to remind everybody we have several other important items on the agenda, not least of which is the National Office Budget Review. And we have a time not later than 9:35 to adjourn to the executive session where we have at least two items to deal with. So does anyone, even with those cautionary notes, I have to ask, would someone like to move to extend time?
Beth moves to extend for 5.
Okay. Any discussion? Any objection? We'll go from 5 from 9:21 by my Eastern time by my clock. So we had Chris. Go ahead, Chris. Chris? Can everyone hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Okay, Beth, why don't you go ahead? We'll get Chris when he comes back.
Sure, I can be brief. I just wanted to request from Stephanie a progress report, please, at the next regular PNB meeting and regularly thereafter until the situation is resolved. Thank you.
I'm waiting for Stephanie to answer. Is that?
Oh, sure. Yes.
Okay. Got it. Chris, are you with us again?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry I got dropped. I don't know what happened.
Don't worry. Go ahead.
So I submitted a motion. If you think it's out of order, James, and we should review the motion that's already been passed, I will accede to that that objection. But I was going to suggest that we should move that the NFC recommends to the PNB that it demand the individual units view only access of their financial their bank accounts for the ED and CFO / national business manager by title.
I'm sorry, what was by title? Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. No, I'm not going to say it's out of order. I might say, you know, it might be wise to figure out exactly what's going on first before we demand that people do something in a way that makes it sound like they're not willing.
Of course. I'm also willing to postpone that motion if you think that it'd be better.
Why don't we postpone it and see if, you know, let's see if we can dig that motion up, provide it to Stephanie,
okay.
Provide it to the committee. And does anybody have the ARPA? Do you think you can dig that up for us and provide it to the committee so we can look at that?
I can look for it. Not now, of course, but I can look for it.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be
okay.
Good.
So,
and as I said, I'm almost positive that did not contain a mechanism. It just made a
probably
demand.
Didn't. Yeah, so
yeah.
I'll share for now. I think my frustration is getting the best of me. Anyway, okay. Yeah, I'll just shelve it for now. Thanks.
You're not alone.
So are we withdrawing or postponing or what?
I'm postponing the motion. I'm postponing it.
To when?
Indefinitely.
Okay.
Yeah, indefinitely. Thanks, Arpal.
Okay. We'll follow up on it, though. Okay.
So that's a motion. You got to see if there's any objection.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I move to postpone the motion that I've already placed on the floor. Until
okay.
Yeah.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, that's done. Okay, I think we better move on to our next item. And that is, Chris, this was something that you had put on the agenda, and we had decided it was not, this is number 7, deferred payroll and accrual accounts. We decided that it wasn't necessarily relevant, but I think that was before we learned that the plan we had at the time was not going to be possible. So now we're back to talking about possibly deferring payroll. So do you feel the need to, I put this back on the agenda because I thought you might now think that we should discuss accrual accounts.
Well, yeah, it was basically an accrual amendment for the motion that was passing, and now it's limited to non-union people that are not covered by a CBA, I guess, is basically how it is. I think it's important that we understand that, you know, and that everybody knows, and that it's like a visible thing that the amount that we're withholding from pay, if we choose to do that with the people who are not a CBA, is we're still obligated to pay it, and that it should be shown somewhere on the books. I just want that to either become part of the motion. The motion that we tried to pass before is off the table anyway, because it would have covered everybody. So I
sure.
think we're back to square one on that motion anyway.
Mr. Chair?
Hold on, Susan. Let's let Chris.
I think
Chris
I was kind of – I need some clarification as to what where that original motion stands at this juncture.
Mr. Chair?
Well, it was a two-part motion, and I think the first part turned out not to be possible, so the second part is now operative.
Okay,
Mr. Chair, I hear you, Susan.
Just hold on one more second.
You're not giving the right information.
All right, just hold on. You can correct this in a moment. Say again, Chris.
I would just like is actually on the floor at this point. That's as far as that motion is concerned. Thanks.
Okay. Susan?
Yeah, the PND adopted a motion at the last meeting that was fully recrafted. We did not act on the motion that had been on the floor because we could not reach a conclusion in time.
So Julie, Stephanie, and I crafted a motion that was adopted at the PNB. You need to see that motion because it makes clear that the deferred pay is accrued.
Okay,
got it.
That was my only suggestion and objection. So I think we can probably move on from that.
I agree. Very good.
If I might, I'm trying to send it to everybody right now so that everybody on the Finance Committee has that motion. You bet.
Thanks. Thank you.
Our Paul for SAC?
Go ahead, our Paul.
Yeah. I saw somebody was sending around another motion that I think may be what you're talking about right here. Let me see if this new one is coming in really fast.
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay. And the way it's written, I'm not sure how that's going to work. The thing to always keep in mind is legally. Yeah, what?
The point was that was not adopted. That was superseded by a different motion that Julie is sending around.
Okay.
Now.
So what I've seen so far is not it, and I haven't gotten this one. All right, then I'll just shut up. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so let's go on to the next issue, which was the National Office Budget Review, which we had scheduled 35 minutes for, but we're now 6 minutes from our time to go to executive session. So I guess I should ask Stephanie, would you like to postpone this to the next meeting? That would seem logical at this point, even though we've done it several times.
Yeah, whatever. All right, yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Is there any objection to postponing this item to the next meeting?
Okay, so this is a motion?
This is a motion, yeah. This is on the agenda, so we're changing. And I guess that means it takes a two-thirds, our call, or? No, to postpone doesn't take two-thirds. So
ask
our call,
if
the motion,
there are any objections. Ask if there are any objections.
Please hold on, Susan. Let me chair the meeting. Inadequately, though I may. Our call, so we're moving to postpone this to the next meeting. And my question is, if we have to go to a vote, which I don't think we do, would that take two-thirds?
Let me think a second. Well, we don't have a motion. A motion just takes a majority, but you want to amend, but this is an agenda item.
Okay, correct.
I'd have to look that up to make absolutely certain. I'd say it might just need that, but ask if there's any objection, and you'll probably get your two-thirds anyway.
Yeah. We'll take Susan's suggestion to see if there's any objection. Is there any objection? Hearing none. That will be next time, and we will try to actually get to it next time. And that's, let's see, now we have about 4 minutes to go. Beth, you had a motion, number nine, motion to require a balance sheet and business plan in place before any sale of a major asset. 10 minutes was scheduled for this. Do you want to try and read your motion and see what we can do with it?
Sorry, had to unmute. Sure, I'll do that.
Go ahead.
Whereas...
By the way, just for everybody's information, this was emailed to the National Finance Committee list this afternoon, sometime prior to the meeting.
I started drafting it during the last National Finance meeting, but we didn't get through all our business then, so there wasn't time to address it then, and it gave me time to put more thought into it. So, whereas a fully informed overview of Pacifica's current financial condition and a viable business plan are both necessary in advance of any consideration of irrevocable disposition of any significant Pacifica Capital asset. Therefore, be it resolved that well in advance of further consideration of irrevocable liquidation of any significant Pacifica Capital asset for any reason, and no later than December 7th, which is a Thursday, a regular PNB meeting we have scheduled for that night. Pacifica National Board meeting, Pacifica management shall provide a complete current balance sheet of all Pacifica assets and liabilities. Be it further resolved that at that time, Pacifica management shall also provide or propose an overview, an overall Pacifica business plan proposing a path forward from Pacifica's current financial predicament into a viable future in service of Pacifica's enduring mission for consideration by the Pacifica National Board in advance of any further consideration of irrevocable liquidation and disposition of proceeds from any significant Pacifica capital assets. Thank you.